Numbers 22. The message today is God's faculty at the school of obedience. God's faculty at the school of obedience. I want to read three portions to you. Two from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, and then we'll try to put it together. Numbers 22. Verse 6. This is the incident about Balaam being called to curse the children of Israel. Verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. For peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now, look at verse 18. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do more or less. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will speak unto me more. But now, look at what God said to him the first time in verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. But then, a greater reward is offered, and he says, I will go and hear what else God will say to me. Verse 20. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men are come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But only the word which I speak unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord placed himself in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And he turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the donkey to turn her into the way. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, and she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, and she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that you have smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, because you have mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I had killed thee. And the donkey said unto Balaam, am not I thy donkey, upon which thou hast ridden all thy life long unto this day? Was I ever accustomed to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell on his face. And the angel said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine donkey these three times? Behold, I am come forth for an adversary, because thy way is perverse before me. And the donkey saw me, and turned aside before me these three times. Unless she had turned aside from me, surely now I had even slain thee and saved her alive. Now, let's turn to Jonah. We are familiar with Jonah and his commission to go and preach unto Nineveh. But instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah pays the fare and gets in a ship going to Tarshish. But you know the events that happened. God sent a storm, and there was only one way that there can be deliverance. Look at verse 11. Then said they unto Jonah, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get them back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, and he prays, and then verse 9, But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And now Mark 14. Peter has been told, Before the cock crow twice, you shall deny me thrice. And this is a rooster. Before the rooster crows three times, you shall deny me thrice. And Peter said, If I must die with thee, I will not deny thee. And in like manner said they all. Chapter 14, verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the court, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, You also were with the Nazarene, even Jesus. But he denied, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out into the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the maid saw him, and began again to say them that stood by, This is one of them. But he again denied it. And after a little while, again they that stood by said to Peter, Of a truth, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to curse and to swear, I know not this man of whom you speak. And straightway, the second time, the rooster crowed. And Peter called to mind the word how that Jesus said unto him, Before the rooster crow twice, you shall deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, We are thankful for all the instruction that you give us in the Word of God, whether in the old or the new, whether in profound lessons or simple lessons. You teach us your ways. And we desire this day, our Father, that we shall learn from your faculty in your school of obedience. You know the importance of the portions that we've read by thy Spirit. Let them be of power and of importance to us. Bless our time together this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Have you ever heard a donkey talk? I have. Have you ever been in the belly of a whale? I have. And have you ever heard a rooster crow? I have. You say, this is impossible. No, I'm telling you the truth. And all of these three things, I have had that experience. I must modify one thing. I've heard a donkey talk, not miraculously with words that God put in his mouth, but when I heard this donkey make its sound, I interpreted that sound and what it meant concerning me. And what God does is this. At times, when a man sins, he sends a prophet and tells the man his instruction. And so God has a faculty of prophets, but God also has a faculty of animals. And I've given you three animals this morning that are on God's faculty of obedience. Because each man whose biography I read to you this morning was in a path of disobedience, and God, instead of sending a Nathan the prophet or an Isaiah the prophet, as to David and as to Hezekiah, instead, God takes one of the creatures, one of the beasts or birds of the earth that he's created, over which man is to have dominion. And most of the time, we are known to train the animals, to teach them the way that they should behave, the way that they should live. But what God does is to humiliate man after his first failure by an animal being used by Satan, the serpent, and this is the second time now that a brute beast, and I told you that the word behemoth means a mute animal, a dumb animal. And so here is the second time that a supernatural power, Satan and the serpent and our God and the mouth of the donkey, has used the lower creation to influence the higher creation. And what is so sad is this, that the animals have been successful in doing for man what man has failed to do to the animal. God brings the animals to Adam and he says, now name these animals. And Adam does name the animals. And because of that, what God does is to take these beasts, and you may go in your leisure and see the characteristics of these beasts that God has made, and see just why he chose these particular creatures to teach man the lessons of obedience. Now, in the first instance, here is a man, and it is incredible, but he is a false prophet, and yet he has had experiences with God that none of you have ever had. How many of you have ever heard the voice of God audibly speaking to you. This false prophet has, again and again. You say, how strange. Yes. And at the same time, here is another prophet, Jonah, this time not a false prophet, but a true prophet, and he has heard the voice of God, but he has disobeyed the voice of God, and so God speaks to him this time through a whale. And here is Peter, who has heard the voice of the Son of God tell him his weakness and what to do. Pray that you enter not into temptation. But instead of taking heed to the counsel of the Lord Jesus, he boasts and tells of his strength, though everyone else will fail you, I shall never fail you. And so the Lord says, well, I am determined to teach you by the crowing of a rooster. So here is what is so remarkable, that God, who could have spoken again to Balaam, who could have himself miraculously changed the heart of Jonah and sent him on his mission again, instead of these things, he lets these three men have these animal experiences. And I venture to say this, that as long as Balaam lived, he could never forget the donkey that he rode on. And Jonah could never forget that whale that swallowed him. And Peter could never forget that rooster that crowed when he denied the Savior. And so there are some animals that can never be obliterated from your mind. And God uses these animals. And I will tell you truthfully now, because it is of interest, how the Lord has taken all of his creation representatively and brought it to our attention. I could have done it in one man, but I've used three, because here in the first instance is what God created on the fifth day. He takes a beast and uses that beast. Here is a whale in the case of Jonah. That is what he created, first of all, on the third day. And then he takes a bird, a rooster, and uses him. That is what he created also on the third day, the second time. And so we have God's fishes, God's fowls, and God's beasts. And so God can look at all of his creation, and he can take, if he chooses, a beast and use him to instruct man. You are on my faculty. And so he chooses a donkey, and then he chooses a fish, a whale, by the way. The word that is used here is an exceedingly large animal. And so you look up the definition of a whale, and it says something that is extraordinarily large. And so when you say, I caught a whale, if you go fishing, it means you caught something extremely large. And so we may call this a whale. It's a kind of fish that is in the ocean. And it says in Psalm 104 that God put this animal in the ocean to play in the ocean. And God looks at it. Do you realize that God has his pets? Do you realize that God looks after his creation? God told Adam to look after it, to have dominion over it, but God looks after it. And did you know that animals pray to God? Did you pray to God this morning? Animals pray. And God says, I hear the cry of the animal, and I feed the animal. Isn't that remarkable? Whether they are conscious that they are crying unto God, but God is listening to their cry, and God says, they cry unto me, as you and I cry unto God in prayer, and God says, I answer their prayer, and I feed them. And so there are so many decisions that God has to make, because since sin has come into the world, if he is going to feed one animal that is carnivorous, it has to be at the expense of another animal. And God chooses which animal is to live and which animal is to die. And I've seen God use animals in my life to teach me lessons. and to give me an opportunity to witness for Christ, and an animal gave its life that I might do that. Perhaps I'll tell you more about it. But I want to tell you this, first of all, the truth about hearing a donkey speak, not in words, but I remember years ago being in Pennsylvania, and I used to run, and I would try to run one time around the track in 1 minute. I never tried to run a 4-minute mile, but you put everything you had into it and tried to get around in 1 minute, 440 yards. And I was out at a ball field, and it was right across the roof from a farm, and in that farm, I looked over and saw a donkey there. And so I was running with all my might around this track, and when I got to the finish line, I was exhausted and breathing heavily. And that donkey across the street went, hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. And I said, that rascal is mocking me for not being able to run as fast as I want to. But that is my interpretation of tongues, a donkey's tongue. But I told you I'd heard a donkey talk. And literally, I've been in the belly of a whale. I've never forgotten it. I was born and brought up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and there were two junkyards, because when I was a young boy, we could go and pick up scrap iron and scrap metal and take it, and there were two junkyards. I can still remember Weinstein's junkyard and Max Bain's junkyard. And there was a railroad that came through town right between those two junkyards, and it ended up at Cabarrus Street. And one day when I was a young boy, I went to a carnival that was being held there, and this flat railroad car came, and this gigantic whale was on that car. And so I went, and the man that was the barker was telling about this whale, and he said, and you can go in the belly of the whale as Jonah did for 10 cents. And so I paid the fare, and I went in the belly of the whale. That is literal. I've been in the belly of a whale. And not only that, I remember being on the farm at times, and then you hear the chickens clucking, and then you will hear the cock-a-doodle-doo of the rooster. But never have I had these animals on God's faculty to teach me literally the lessons that God had them to teach to Balaam and Jonah and Peter. But he used these animals successfully. And I thought again about the ability that God has given these animals, because God uses this animal only to the extent of its capacity. Because your animals think and feel and have emotions, and God simply lets that animal speak the emotions with his vocal cords that he did not have the ability to speak without it. If you've ever had an animal, you know at times that that animal can love you. He can express his joy when you come to see him. He will jump up on you, and he's so happy to see you. And he can beg for food. And so there are certain things that an animal has the capacity to do. And if he could talk and he sat up, you would say, what do you want? And he would say, I want something to eat. And then if he wants to go out and he's barking, what are you barking for? He would say to you, I want to go out. There are certain thoughts that this animal has. And what has happened is this, that God has embarrassed man. Here is a man that has such ability that he can go into the presence of God and commune with God, and yet in another instance, he is so blind that he cannot see the angel of God, but this dumb animal can. 3 times that animal saw the angel of the Lord, and the animal, by its actions, was involving Balaam, criticizing him and condemning him for doing the very thing that that animal refused to do. Now, let me warn you about the will of God. Do you realize that if God makes his will known to you one time, and you know it plainly, do you realize that if you insist on God's will being changed, that God will let you have your will? Do you realize that? It was plain, without equivocation, when Balaam went into the presence of God the first time and said, "What am I to do with these men? They want me to go and curse the nation of Israel." God said plainly, "You shall not go. You shall not curse Israel, for Israel is blessed." Is that plain enough? You say yes. The men came back and they offered him his house full of silver and gold. And because of that, Balaam said, "I will go and ask God again." Isn't that a sad thing? How plainly does God have to speak to let you know he means no? God had said, "You shall not go. You shall not curse. They are blessed." And the men come back again and offer him more. And he said, "Let me go and talk to God again." And so he hears God's voice the second time. Do you realize that the Lord tells us this in the Psalms? It says, "He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls." And so God can let you do what you want to. If you insist, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And not only that, but if you insist on it, God will stop trying to turn you from your evil way and will insist that you take that way that you have chosen. Listen to this. When Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of silver, had determined to betray the Lord, do you know the last words the Savior spoke to him in that upper room? He said, "What you do, do quickly." You say, he told Judas to go and get it over quickly? I told you that. When God gives you your request, when for 30 pieces of silver you would sacrifice the precious Son of God, God says to you, "What you're going to do, do quickly." And at the same time, when Peter was told, "Pray that you enter not into temptation," and he comes three times, and he finds Peter, James, and John sleeping, at the last he says to them, "Sleep on now and take your rest." Not only will God let you do your will, but he will insist that you carry it out, and he tells you to do it quickly. And that is why, if you hear the voice of God the first time, you had better understand what the voice and will of God is, because God will let you have your will if you insist on doing it and not doing his will. And so here is Balaam, and this animal that is going to stop and will no longer let him go on his headlong way to destruction infuriates Balaam, and he smites him 1, 2, 3 times. And listen to the thoughts of Balaam's donkey. He said, "Why have you smitten thee these 3 times?" And he tells him, and the marvel is this, that if I had an animal and you started talking to me, I would be amazed and not able to do anything else. But he is so infuriated and insistent on doing what he wants to do that this animal talking to him doesn't cause him to stop having a conversation with the animal. And he says, "I've smitten you because you're perverse. That's why." And the animal said, "I've been your donkey your whole life long, have I ever done this to you before? And he says, no. You see what an animal understands? An animal understands what he's supposed to do, and when he does what is right and wrong. And now, even though the animal is doing what he knows is right, his master is smiting him, the animal wants his master to give an account as to why he is smiting him. You see, God, if he gives animals the ability to speak, he does not give them the ability that Satan gave the serpent to reason and talk man into committing sin. This animal simply expresses his own personal feelings and wonder why his master is treating him that way. Someday I may tell you about one of my dogs and how every time I remember my punishing that dog unjustly, I'm smitten. I can never forget it, because the dog could say to me, in all my life long, have I ever done anything that you told me not to do? I had a dog that I never remember more than one time when he was just starting out that ever did anything I told him not to do. And he always did everything I told her to do. And I will tell you this. One time, suddenly the dog had become paralyzed and was making heavy breathing sounds and was restless, and I told the dog to get quiet and get still 2 or 3 times. And when the dog kept on, I took it by the neck and made it get off the bed. I threw it off the bed, and it went off into the kitchen. And the next morning, I realized that the dog was paralyzed. And the reason the dog wasn't doing what I told it to do was because it was not able to do what I told it to do. And I am sorrowful every time I think about it, and I wrongly punish that animal. I do not know if Balaam had any feelings of sentiment toward his donkey, but he smote that donkey, and the donkey said, why are you doing this to me? And if the dog had spoken to me, she would have said, why are you doing this to me? You know, I've never behaved this way in all my life. Why are you doing this to me? And so God uses a donkey, and this is what is so interesting, that in each instance, the mouth is opened. It says God opened the mouth of the donkey, and it spoke. And God opened the mouth of the whale and swallowed Jonah. And God opened the mouth of that rooster, and it crowed. And think now about the dominion, the power of God over his creation. That God, if he chooses, could have enabled animals to talk as well as man. But God has made man to have dominion over them. One thing that the highest animal is never able to do is to talk. You can get little parakeets or parrots to say things, but they are not able to tell you anything except Polly wants a cracker, something like that. But they have not the intelligence that man does. That is one of the special blessings that God has made you in the image and likeness of God. And so here are these creatures of God, and God is using these creatures to teach Balaam that he should not go in the way that he's going, and the animal refuses to go. And it says the animal can see the angel of the Lord, but Balaam is not able to see him. That's how blind you become when you insist on doing your own will, and God will let you do it. And finally, God said, if it had not been for this dumb animal of yours obeying me, I would have smitten you and saved that animal alive. And think of the power of God now over this whale. Here is a special creation, I take it, after the original creation. God had prepared this great fish for the lesson that he had to teach Jonah. And that is why he could remain alive in the belly of this great fish. It's a miracle concerning the fish. It's a miracle that the fish was there and opened his mouth when Jonah was thrown over the side of the boat. and a miracle that he remained alive, or as some might say, he died and came back to life. God preserved him those 3 days and three nights in the belly of that great fish. And then also, and this is what has been of amusement to me, this rooster that God controlled in the life of Peter, making it impossible for him to crow except when God wanted him to crow. And so think of this little rooster. The Savior had said before, "The rooster crows twice, you shall deny me thrice." And I read up on roosters, and it says in the Holy Land, they usually will crow, and visitors have complained. They say, "When I go to sleep at night, I hear these roosters crowing, and they wake me up." They're informed that they ordinarily crow about 11 to 1 or 1 to 3, and then 1 hour before the dawn. And so here are the regular times that these roosters crow. But their time clock has to be changed because of the misconduct of Peter. And so here are these little roosters, and they're wanting to crow, and they're not able to open its mouth. God says, "Not yet." And Peter denies the Lord the first time. And God says, "Crow." And then, "Cock-a-doodle-doo." And Peter pays no attention to it. It doesn't have any meaning to him. And then he denies the Lord the second time. And then the third time he denies the Lord. And the Lord says to that rooster, "Crow." And he goes, "Cock-a-doodle-doo." And then Peter remembers what the Savior told him. And when he thought thereon, he went out and wept bitterly. And so this is God's faculty. He teaches man the way of obedience through these dumb animals when he will go headlong, when the temptation for Balaam is money, greed. He loved the hire of unrighteousness. And when also there is hatred and vengeance in your heart, as there was in the heart of Jonah, God has to change that. And when there is pride, that you will never fail or deny the Lord. God has lessons to teach you. And the marvel is this, that God teaches them through his faculty of the beast. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us for being less than the beast. We remember one of your great psalmists that says, "I was as a beast before thee." Forgive us, our Father, for being less than beasts on occasions. And we pray that we shall learn from these creatures of yours that you used to teach Balaam and Jonah and Peter. And whatever our temptations are, let us beware. Because our God, if we insist, you can give us our request, but send leanness into our souls. And so when we hear your voice, let us be prompt to obey the first time, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.